They got the best sports coverage in the state. The llama actually tips me this time, 2-1.
Welcome to the Ultimate Football Talk Show, right here on GoMileHigh.com. You're now listening to Shaggy and Squirrel, and this is Inside the Huddle.
Wilson wants it all. Deep ball. Metcalf got it. Touchdown, Seattle. On fourth.
Second down, the pitch to McCaffrey. McCaffrey to the end zone for the touchdown.
Here's Hines again. Hines breaking a tackle, and he is in for the Indianapolis touchdown.
Carter fake the handoff. Jackson throws. Oh, what a grab. Touchdown, Mark Andrews.
And goal at the one, and Swift scores his first NFL touchdown.
This time, Gordon able to get there. Touchdown, Melvin Gordon. Welcome to Denver.
And welcome to Denver it is, boys. How are y'all doing? This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. Mr. Carlos.
Hey.
Mr. Jacob over there. And, boy, oh, boy, we got Arthur Knight in the back, with legend in the building. Getting it done in the booth. Guys, we got a lot to talk about today. Boy, oh boy, NFL week one is in the books. Boys, we've been waiting for this to happen. We've been waiting for this to come.
And tell me now, when you woke up on that Sunday, it just felt surreal. Like, it didn't feel like it.
Yeah,
it
didn't feel like
it happened. Like, it didn't feel real.
Like, what was it? 11:30 came around, 12 o'clock, and I was just like chilling.
Yeah.
Because I was over. Relaxing.
Well, it was crazy. I was in Connecticut this weekend. So, games didn't start till 1 o'clock over there instead of, you know, 11 local time here in Denver. Guys, big takeaways. Well, first, we're going to jump right into the meat. Man, the Broncos disappointed us this weekend, fellas. Does this week one loss change a viewpoint of the team, you know, pre-start kind of to the season? Jake, Carlos?
Well, despite the injuries, I felt like the team played very well and showed very good promise on defense and as well as on offense. They just struggled. They had a couple points in the game where they had some stale points, especially in the middle part of the third quarter, where they'd pass on a first down, run it on second, and they'd end up in third and longs, and it really put that Broncos offense in a stall going. I think it was like 1 for 5 or 1 for 6 on third downs throughout that third quarter and into the fourth. So I'm going to say that it doesn't change my viewpoint. Actually, I feel like, if anything, it just solidified that I think it's going to be an 8-8 and 9-7 middle of the pack team.
Yeah, me too. I you know, it felt like a week two preseason game. And I think it was like that for a lot of,
especially for kickers.
Especially for kickers. Yeah. I mean, we still lost. I mean, the Broncos still lost with, you know.
Does he get fired today?
I don't. Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. No game-winning kick. How could you get fired?
Because you missed the three easy ones before that.
But you still won the game.
I mean, I get you had a hamstring surgery, you know, a few months back. But come on. You're an NFL kicker. I mean, they just got this guy for like $2 million. He's just missing kicks.
I mean, you can still kick the ball during COVID wearing a mask in your backyard, right?
That's viable. I like that.
I mean, you know,
honestly,
what I mean?
Does it just solidify the fact that if Belichick gets rid of damaged goods, buyers beware?
Gostkowski.
I mean,
we all seen how old Tampa Bay didn't really do so well.
He even tied Aaron Rodgers with the most big-time throws compared to Pro Football Focus, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Big-time throws don't really mean much when you lose by 20.
I know, when you're playing against the best team in the NFC.
Yeah. But I was disappointed in Jerry Jeudy. He dropped two catchable balls. I mean,
jeez, the one down the middle of the field.
He was
wide open.
But you could take that as a positive, that how fast he is, and he's running his routes very well. It's just he was wide open, and he just dropped the ball.
You know what I noticed? You know what I did like? There is a bunch of decent wide receivers on that depth chart. Because I didn't see KJ Hamler didn't play last night much, I think, at all. Sutton, we know, didn't play. So that puts Jeudy at number one.
And Tim Patrick at number
two. Tim Patrick came in there, didn't do the bat at all, caught a deep ball. And then we see Fant put up 80 points in the first half. Why do you not even look at him in the second? Like, didn't even look at him. Like, Noah Fant didn't even play for the Broncos in the second half of that game. Like, what's going on? He didn't look his way. He didn't throw his way. I mean, geez, that was your first touchdown of the season, was locked to Fant in the end zone. Why? What are you doing, dude?
I also have another problem with them going running the trick play on fourth and goal inside the one. I have a really big problem with that.
Yeah.
It's like you have a young offense, and this is your very first game. Why are you running a trick play inside the end zone? Like, there's no continuity on the team right now.
That's on Pat.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's on Pat Shermer, 110%.
A little upside. I don't think the defense looked that bad.
No.
Jewell looked like an inside the
I will gym. Say they looked horrible on play-action pass defense. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, when Tennessee comes into this game, Ryan Tannehill is about 85% on play-action passing. 70% of their passing plays last night were play-action pass. How did you not game plan for that alone? Okay, you game plan 95% for Derrick Henry. Okay. You take Derrick Henry out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill can still throw the football. Now, let's not take it away. He can throw the football 10, maybe 15
and
yards down the field. Any farther than that,
those receivers. They have some receivers in for Tennessee.
Any farther than about 15 yards, Tannehill's not very accurate. But the play action passing, he killed them all game. Mm-hmm. It was an easy, because what were they doing? They were charging for Derrick Henry. Every time he played that play action pass, we broke in on it. He'd have it around, and there it was. He's dumping it off. I seen more plays with that backup running back because they used Derrick Henry as a body bag. Talking about body bag, did y'all see, what was it, your boy Jewell set Derrick Henry down on his behind, boy? Mm-hmm.
Joey Jewell.
Woo!
Josie.
Was it Josie? Yeah. Josie Jewell. But what I want to say is, how good did that defense really look with Von Miller not there? I didn't hear Bradley Chubb's name last night very much. What, do you have a tackle and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Dude, you know who I liked? Atachu. Did y'all see
Atachu
that, man?
Atachu played amazing.
Dude.
Don't forget about Alexander.
Yeah,
Alexander played as well.
He did. Atachu. But I want to know, dude, did anybody see this kid blowing the smoke like he did last night? Dude, holy cow.
Oh, yeah, he almost undid his hair.
Ojemudia almost had a pick.
Yeah.
Did y'all see that diving pick, dude?
That smack he had on Tannehill in the fourth quarter.
Yes, dude.
Fans, you heard it.
You heard it. But, like, where was Bradley Chubb? What is he doing?
He was 0 for 0 for 0.
You got
everything.
I mean, as a name,
zeros.
Bradley Chubb, and as highly as we're all looking at you, you got to take that Von Miller role.
And Alex Johnson had a total of 12 tackles. He led the team in tackles, 8 of them solo. Alexander Johnson also had a quarterback hit.
I think Josie Jewell is a great linebacker prospect in the making.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this kid showed me enough last night where he could possibly start next
with the exception of Chubb, the whole linebacking core played lights out.
Lights out. You know what I'm saying? I mean he's gonna challenge. I don't know if he's gonna challenge Atachu for that job, but I think Atachu's got that second. If Von Miller does not make it back, which we know and we all believe.
I think they were just trying to prove a point that they don't need a Clay Matthews or a
They
Wake.
Don't.
They
don't.
Don't. They were just like, you know what, Mr. Elway? We're going to show you how it is.
So Bradley Chubb played on 72% of the snaps as well.
Yeah, and didn't do much. Didn't do much.
That's.
Let's get into some pressing issues. Arthur, how did Drew Lock impress you last night? Did he not?
Actually, if you look on my Twitter at A Night Sports on Twitter, I basically, in about the fourth quarter, I had tweeted that the Broncos finally have a quarterback with cojones.
Yes.
He takes chances. He's out there playing the game to win. He doesn't look timid at all. He kind of reminds me, and I'm not trying to go into basketball, but he kind of reminds me of an MPJ. He's just not afraid of the big stage and the big lights. He's going to play his game regardless. So I was very impressed on some of the throws, especially. I mean, there were a couple of errant throws. You had mentioned the fourth down little flea flicker power, not flea flicker, but
the toss inside.
Yeah, the weak toss to butt.
Yeah, the inside pitch.
The play before that actually was wide open receiver, a wide open tight end in the flat, and Luck actually missed that throw, overthrew him.
Yep. Back across the field.
Exactly. Yep. He basically overthrew him. So
that's just without him making
that errant pass, they score a touchdown. Yeah. They don't need that fourth down.
I think that's just a matter of him being young, falling off the back foot, not really, you know, thinking about, hey, I still have just a second.
You could tell he got excited in the throw.
I still have just a second to really make a throw, and I think he could have made that throw with a little experience.
But I want to add this off onto that. There was a couple times last night where he was reading through his reads. He wasn't just looking at his first and second receiver staring them down.
No, yeah.
He was reading across the field, and he was taking the best possible option. And that's something that you don't see from a second-year quarterback, especially one that has really realistically not played much football at all.
Mm-hmm. The footwork was good. I don't think he was sacked. I can't think of a time he was sacked in the game, so... He impressed me for sure.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get better and better. Like I said, this was like week two of a preseason game. He threw some darts. I mean, darts.
They were pretty accurate. I mean, in a nutshell, the offense showed flashes of a good offense in the game. But down the stretch, they became predictable in the second half.
Pat Shurmur's fault. That's all
you
Pat
know,
Shurmur
pass right on there. Pass on first, run on second, keep the keep the same thing going, and you know, third and longs. And it's easy to play defense when you can put people in third and longs and you can predict everything that the offense
even Melvin Gordon fumbled where he shouldn't have. Lindsey looked like he got hurt, so they just pulled him. Minor, but he only had 7 rushes for 24 yards.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, AFC takeaways. A little teaser for you there. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hurry, young Popsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beat On Air Network. I want to take a second, and I have an amazing little, what is it, a Yeti cup, I guess you could call it, a built cup, however, a cooler cup that I got this weekend in Connecticut from a dear, dear friend, and his wife is amazing at making these. If you want any team, any kind of color, anything, you let me know. Her name is Jerica Baez, and they are very, very good at making these cups. They make soaps and all kinds of stuff. So they're getting the business together and getting it off. Love you guys, and we'll see you guys soon.
That's a big cup.
No, it is, dude.
I know.
It and holds after, a lot,
after
bro.
After your Colts losing yesterday, you probably drank like three of those.
Especially losing to the Jaguars of all teams, too.
Right?
Listen, did we have to go there? Okay, well, okay, all right. I'm going to do
I'm
it now.
Saying.
No, I'm going to do it now. Let's talk about Philadelphia and Washington.
Let's go
with Philadelphia and Washington. Y'all want to keep playing around with my Colts. Jeez Louise.
We're gonna beat up the Eagles in the next segment.
We're going to beat up the Eagles. All right, AFC takeaways from this week, guys. Houston, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes in the high-flying offense, pretty much continue where they left off last year. David Johnson did show that he's still got a little bit, huh? Since 2016, we haven't really seen much from him. But, boy, did he take off and do a little
first
dance.
First touchdown of the year.
You want to talk about doing a little dance? Did y'all see what Clyde Edwards-Helaire put on that defender? I mean, he went from
Justin
one
Reed.
Side to 3 feet over, and the dude, yeah, he went and sat down or something.
He
was very, very upset about it. But boy, did he put a move on him. Go ahead.
But Clyde Edwards, he doubled the yards in David Johnson.
Dude, 120?
138?
I didn't expect that, man. Jeez.
He was the rookie of the weekend.
Yes.
So I would, just to throw that in there before we move on.
I mean, I would say.
Plus, he's on my fantasy football.
Joe Burrow scoring that rushing TD. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that here in just a second. Miami, New England. Boy, how did New England look without Tom Brady? Well, didn't skip a beat. Bill Belichick's down there laughing at Tampa, saying, ha, 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 I told you, because Tommy can't do it without him. Cam Newton looked pretty healthy, ready to play. Rushing touchdown, two rushing touchdowns, am I reading this correct?
Yeah, two rushing touchdowns in week one.
More rushing attempts.
Yep.
The most rushing attempts as a Patriots quarterback in history. Because they haven't really had a rushing quarterback in 20 years.
Rushing attempts and rushing touchdowns in one game.
Well, that's crazy because we were just talking about before the podcast, you know, what happened with Steve Grogan. They had Steve Grogan in the 70s and the 80s, and he was a rushing quarterback.
Yeah.
So it was just crazy that they didn't break those numbers back in the day, but then they break them now.
I don't know.
Especially in this time of day now where it's all offense are passing.
Moving on down, Josh Allen and Buffalo tore up. I think did really well against the Jets. Josh Allen, honestly, needs to stop fumbling the football. Literally, keep it in your hands. And honestly, let's just face it, the Jets suck. I mean,
like, there's nothing else you can add on. I mean,
all right, John Madden.
The Jets suck.
Yeah. Hey, I would love to be John Madden one day.
If you just keep your hands on the ball, you would not fumble.
Hey, they used to have them stickums. You know, you can put them on your hands. Keep on rolling. Cleveland put up nearly a goose against Baltimore. Just outclassed the Browns, honestly. But Jackson was just him and Andrews is just deadly. Honestly, it's starting to become
Baker. He just needs to stick with commercials,
dude. I mean, I tell you what, I think he makes more money in commercials than he does actual contract money.
Yeah,
he has more commercials played than he has wins in the NFL.
Have you seen the new Have you seen the new commercial that he came out with about the furniture?
Yeah. It's raining.
That commercial jerked a tear, man. That was hilarious.
He said, come on, help me out. It's raining. We got to cover the furniture.
He said, don't just stand there.
Don't just stand.
He's like covering each individual
seat. As he has one more cover in his hand, like he's going to get all – 65,000.
If two people do it, it'll be done twice as fast.
Yeah.
I just want to say it's sad because this Browns offense for the last 2 years, 3 years has looked great on paper, but they just cannot produce on the field. They look great, like great receivers, great running backs, great, you know, corners, great linebackers, some of the league's decent pass rushers, decent safeties. It's just they can't get over that hump. And is it coaching? Is it general managing? Is it what is it?
It's the water.
It's the water.
Yeah,
it's the water.
Hey,
because they haven't had anything.
It's a mistake by the lake.
Yeah, they can't anything.
If they would just get some of Bobby Boucher's quality H2O. Yeah, all
right.
You know, everything would go okay for these guys.
Man, I just
but it's going the exact opposite. All right.
Chargers played Cincinnati. Mr. Joe Burrow's on the field. Ran for a touchdown.
He did well,
dude. I think he's gonna have a long and treacherous year behind this Bengals O-line. Did y'all see how many rush? Go ahead. Do you guys see how many times that the
D.
Oh, go. Yeah, sorry.
Like you D. said, I can't. Yeah, D. I can't miss that one to AJ. That's, you know, a high schooler can make that throw, and then I can't throw the ball right to Melvin Ingram and give them the ball back when we're in scoring range. So, tough way to lose.
Yeah. It's a tough way to lose. Well, that's what's going to be happening here in the NFL. It's always going
to
be.
Isn't every way a tough way to lose when you lose?
I mean,
especially in the NFL of all leagues.
Especially only what? A field goal at the end, then them coming down. So, I mean, I think Joe Burrow had a great game.
Yeah, for first.
He's a rookie, dude. He hasn't had any time to practice.
And it's not like it's his fault they lost. He drove him down the field, dude, and got him a chance to at least tie the game.
Okay,
it's just the kicker misses it.
Yeah, I mean, Randy Bullock missed. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? I mean, you did your job, even as a rookie, took him down the field, which is hard enough as it is to, you know, a fourth quarter drive and such. It's
2 minute warning, especially as a rookie quarterback.
That's hard to do, bro, with the. Honestly, with the offense you got?
Good offensive weapons. No offensive line.
Right. With the offensive line that Joe Burrow's got to work with right now, I'm surprised I didn't see 12 sacks last
night. Joe Mixon had 69 yards to Joe Burrow's 46.
Yeah, no. Joe
he's
Burrow,
like running
he's not
away.
The only person to almost outrush.
But the crazy thing is look at the yards per average. Joe Burrow almost had 6 yards per average, whereas Joe Mixon only had 3.5.
Listen, we're going to talk about rushing yards here coming out right now.
Very last game that happened at the AFC.
We still got one more after this. Pittsburgh played the Giants last night. Dude, Big Ben had more rushing yards than Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Big Ben had 9 rushing yards. Saquon Barkley had 6.
Good.
Wow. On 15 or 14 carries.
Is this game more about how the Giants' O-line is absolutely atrocious or about how good the Steelers' defense is that we
know? No, Giants.
Which, honestly, Daniel Jones made an amazing throw last night or the other night to Darius. Yeah.
Last night
to Darius Slayton, right, slicing that Pittsburgh defense apart.
I don't know why people don't believe in this Daniel Jones guy, honestly. I think, personally, this is my personal opinion, I think he's the second-best quarterback out of that 2019 draft. I think he's better than Locke. I just think he has more of an upside than Locke does, and I think he shows more promise in being able to throw into tight windows than Drew Locke
does. I definitely
think
Locke has more weapons at the moment.
Yeah, he has more weapons, but I think Daniel Jones can do more with less. And I think Daniel Jones has more of an arm and more arm talent, and he's able to fit the ball into tight windows, and I saw that countless times last year, and we saw it in week one, something that Drew Locke still needs to work on, but Daniel Jones is already doing.
All right, well,
we got a Broncos fan looking in, but, you know, he also will probably say that Drew Locke's better than Kyler Murray, so.
Well, we're going to get to the game in a week here, Indianapolis and Jacksonville.
Wait a minute, why was that the game of the week?
It was a game of the week for Jacksonville fans.
Yeah. Philip Rivers.
All 10 of them that were in the stands.
Philip Rivers just.
There's at least 17,000 of them. Not a full capacity, but
Rivers,
as much as I could get.
Rivers just never ceases to amaze me. Literally, I was talking to my wife as they were driving down the field. I was like, hey, babe, $5. Rivers throws a pick, and the game's over. Like, he's going to destroy this. Was it 4 plays later?
Throws a pick.
Forced a ball in the middle of the field. A safety in a corner just cut the path off. Like, holy cow. And Jesus, we didn't recover.
Yeah.
We lost Mack in the first quarter. Achilles tendon tear. He's out for the season. Was Simon Rivers a good idea?
I didn't know
you
played for the Colts.
Yeah.
I thought you were just a fan.
Yeah, well.
He's the center for the Colts.
So, but the statement of the post-conference was Minshew
Minshew
mentioned, hey, we are not playing to get Lawrence.
Well, that's what he's going to say.
Yeah, that's what he's going to say.
But that. Still.
Jacksonville's office has got a different idea.
Yeah, the GM's like, oh, he said that? Oh, yeah, let him keep saying that.
Don't worry. Him and Doug Marrone
are
going to.
Isn't that special?
Yeah. Minshew and Marrone are going to be gone, so it ain't going to make a difference.
But Phillip Rivers, he always has that fantasy points.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what, 335?
363. One touchdown, but two ins.
Yeah. He's the and best losing quarterback in the NFL.
There you go.
And you know what's crazy? Both those interceptions in the fourth quarter and both of those interceptions driving down the field and drive killers.
He is the absolute worst in pressure, bro. Like, he just can't do it.
Yeah. Please approve my Hines.
Naheem Hines?
Yeah. My pickup in fantasy football.
Yeah, that's we're going to talk about fantasy here in a minute. Don't be jumping at that. Real quick, guys. Was signing Rivers a good idea for the Colts? Or should they have stuck with Jacoby Brissett?
I'm going to say they should have stuck with Jacoby Brissett. You got two quarterbacks that really give you about the same give or take, you know, arm strength and as well as talent right now. I mean, 5-6 years ago in Rivers' career, I'd say Rivers, but you could see the tread already falling off on the tires.
Yeah, and wasn't Brissett the main guy of the future?
Dude, he was 6-2.
6-2, and then he gets a shoulder injury, and then they ended up going.
Brian Hoyer came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Luck retired. You know, Jacob Brissett is our guy.
Devastating, by the way. That was devastating.
So, did you want more of your cup right there?
No.
What's in it?
Nothing.
He's like, nothing until next Sunday.
Yeah. There's going to be some stuff in it next Sunday. Well, guys, that was a few AFC takeaways for this week. We will have you week two on Tuesday next week to see what's going on. We're going to preview some of the things coming up this week, guys. NFC next, segment 3. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Be On Air Network.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com. Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once.
I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Be On Air Network. Jake, Carlos, Arthur in the back. Guys, we got one half to go. NFC week, one takeaways. I am going to let you take this game because you like to talk about my team. But yeah, we're about to talk about that, the team that I like.
The team that Squirrel played center for.
Yeah.
15 years.
Center. Yeah, right.
I'm more like a slot. More like a slot receiver.
You're talking about
five, he's a slot receiver.
5'10", 220.
Talking about my Eagles with the quarterback that had a quarterback rating of 14.2.
Yeah.
The lowest in all of the NFL over the
weekend.
Ouch.
I think it's time to bench.
Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
He got sacked 8 times.
Wow. That's because the O-line's terrible.
The O-line.
It's horrible.
Yeah. They try to do a lot of different things. You know, Johnson's hurt.
Go ahead.
But the positive on that is, remember the old rugby player, Jordan Mulata?
Mm-hmm.
He came in the third, and he slowed down some sacks.
He was one of the five guys that slowed him down, but the other four guys didn't slow him down.
No.
how many rushing yards did the Eagles have?
Very, very little. I mean, 57 total.
Scott, right? Box Scott?
Boston Scott had 35.
Boston.
And, well, Miles Sanders went down on a hamstring, but no excuses. These guys need to step up. I mean, come on. I mean,
you know what's crazy? Last year, they were down to the Washington football team 17-0 and then won that game 31-17.
Yeah.
This year, they're up 17 and then lose the game 31-17.
Yep.
Just a little bit of a numbers game there.
And
a little bit.
Just like the Broncos' only touchdown was from a tight end. And I think this weekend was a lot of good tight end work. So Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz were the only two players that received a touchdown for the Eagles. And by looking at the other yards, Jalen Reagor had one catch for 55 yards. He dropped a bomb. DeSean Jackson, he needs to hang it up. Two catches for 46 yards. And it was just like, wait, where's Alshon Jeffrey? Oh, wait a minute. He had a pulled hangnail. I don't know. Mm. So, I don't know. It's inexcusable. And looking at the Eagles' website, Jason Kelce, you know, he's a leader. And it was almost a rant from the parade when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, on how bad they were.
They look bad. Week
they,
one.
They lost to a team that doesn't even have a name.
But, I mean, I'm not really harping on teams that even look bad right now, dude. I mean, you haven't had any practice, dude. You're not together. All your rookies aren't even together, dude. Like, you know.
Week two.
But I'll tell you who didn't look like they dealt with COVID was Green Bay. Dude.
Oh,
Green Bay Minnesota game. Man, oh, man, was that a shootout-ish. Like, good Lord.
In the first half it was.
Yeah, like.
Until the Packers really pulled away in the second half.
Well.
Yeah. A couple Kirk Cousins interceptions.
So, all right, I want to ask you guys real quick. You know how everybody's harping on Green Bay for, they didn't take a wide receiver. He needed a wide receiver. He wanted a wide receiver.
No, they got all that.
So they went and got a quarterback, made them all mad. It looks like he's upset now. You know, throwing four touchdowns to, you know, Devontae, Lazard, Valdez-Scantling. Did they really need wide receivers? I mean,
no, they don't.
Those two are some of the higher, pointed fantasy points wide receivers this week.
You know, they're rookie running back Aaron Jones. I mean,
not rookie running back.
No, not rookie, yeah, but
third
I'm sorry.
Year.
But
he's doing. He did okay.
I mean, you got to remember, they're still a run centric team. They still do a lot of everything off that stretch zone run, and as well as the play action and the bootleg.
It was a good off year for Aaron Rodgers anyway, because he broke up with Danica, and he also made up with his head coach. So they're buddies now.
There was something else he lost. He broke up with Danica, and then he lost with something else. What was it? Oh, it was another big thing.
I think it was virginity.
No. Like, he parted ways with a sponsor or something, one of his big ones.
It was not State Farm. I don't know.
No, I heard it on today.
A 92.9 QBR, highest of the weekend. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Eagles quarterback had the lowest of the weekend. Packers quarterback had the highest of the weekend.
Question. Does Aaron Rodgers sustain this for 16 games?
Yes.
Do the Vikings
his offensive line holds up.
Yeah.
Do the Vikings challenge the Packers for this division?
No.
No?
They look like.
What about the Bears?
So is Mitchell Trubisky going to be down the whole game and then throw three touchdowns? And
so Green Bay has got this division in the bag already.
As of week one, I'd say that they do. But this is a 16 round fight. So
other two teams in that division.
Granted, the Vikings did score 34.
We're going to keep on moving on. Other two teams in this division. Chicago played Detroit, where the Bears were down 26-3 in the fourth quarter. Oh, North Carolina boy threw three TDs in the last quarter to win the game for the Bears.
I tell you this. I think that there's three teams coming out of that division in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. What three?
The Bears, Green Bay, a hot
take?
And Vikings.
Are you willing to put your hot take on that?
That I'm willing to do that.
Three teams. Give them to me right now. This is going on the board.
Hot chicken grease right there.
Chicago, Green Bay, and Minnesota all make the playoffs.
Do you guys hear that?
Wow.
We have three. We have two witnesses. That is going on the hot take board. Did you hear that, Tanner?
So, if DeAndre Swift would have caught that ball for a touchdown, would Detroit be going into the playoffs instead of Chicago?
No, because that'd have been a fluke win.
Exactly. You beat me to saying it. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay.
You know, I mean, DeAndre Swift is a great running back. I just think he went to a crap organization. T.J. Hockenson, great tight end, crap organization.
Adrian Peterson is going to take
Detroit
all the
Johnson was
the
a
way.
Great running back, crap organization. Calvin Johnson probably would have been one of the greatest of all time, crap organization.
If the NFC East didn't have to send a division winner, I'd say Detroit would make it then.
Yeah, right. If the NFC East just like didn't have to be in the playoffs.
The Washington no-name team is in solo first place.
It's a weird week one. It's 2020 for you right there.
Moving on, Las Vegas played Carolina and McCaffrey. McCaffrey got himself a touchdown like he always does. Man, Josh Jacobs.
He got two.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs looks great.
Was this the game of the week?
You know what?
Both in the 30s? Am I wrong?
Yeah, 34-30. It was kind of a shootout between the running backs, though.
Yeah.
It was a good game. Jacobs. Josh Jacobs and Riggs. Ruggs. He got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so
but
hopefully
he
he's
okay.
He
threw that one bomb early in the game that helped him set up for a touchdown for Josh Jacobs. Raiders offense is very sneaky.
I mean, I think they had two of the best running backs on that field.
In the NFL right now?
Yeah, in the NFL playing that game. And Josh Jacobs showed his worth.
So what'd you think about Teddy?
Bridgewater?
I think he played pretty well.
I think he did well.
Great game. I mean, look, he's got the mindset now that he's in charge. It's not, you're just a backup. We're making the decision.
No, it's his team.
It's his team. It's his football team. He's got the best catch passing running back in the league,
and it's all like they don't have any scrubs at receiver. I mean, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, as well as DJ Moore, they're passable receivers.
He's got people to catch the football. Dude.
So watch
Robbie Anderson had a big game.
Yeah. He did,
dude. He did. It was
so
25 points.
The biggest takeaway from this game was 4th-and-1, and they give it. They don't give it to McCaffrey. Are you kidding me? And McCaffrey, you know, I was watching the game. And as soon as they handed the ball off, and I forget who the other running back was, but he didn't get the first down. McCaffrey was just like his arms in the air, like what was that?
Mm-hmm. You pay me all these big bucks and you don't give it to me.
Yeah.
4th-and-1, and that ended the game.
Mm-hmm.
So probably as we think, game of the week, guys.
I'd say so.
Next up on the ballot, Seattle versus Atlanta. Boy, Russell Wilson, son, 31 out of 35 for 322, 4 TDs. I mean, is that too early to call for MVP?
I'm going
to
move on to the next Arizona versus San Francisco.
How are you going to move on to the game so far?
Because I'm going to say maybe Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson, we might have an early race in that division for MVP between those two quarterbacks.
I think Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson could very easily have a very good race for that.
You know what I heard on the fan, and I don't know if this is really true, but they couldn't figure it out either.
If it's on the fan, it's true.
Russell Wilson never even had a vote for MVP.
Yeah, you know Dak Prescott has more MVP votes than Russell Wilson does, right?
Of course he does. He's in Dallas. Come on.
But I know, but it's, I think it's asinine. Like, not one reporter or anyone voted for Russell Wilson for MVP.
It's just, it's all about, you know, I can't even, where I can't even speculate about how or what it's about, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, mm-hmm. politics are involved. All kinds of stuff is involved for these votings and this and that. Yeah. And who brings the bucks? But
put Kyler Murray in
Seattle.
D-Bop.
Yeah, I mean, D-Hop. But Atlanta's offense didn't look that bad. Hang on now. Mm-mm. It's just their defense couldn't really handle Russell Wilson. So Todd Gurley didn't look too bad to me.
No.
You know?
He had most of the rushes at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, busted down a touchdown right after that.
And, of course, Matt Ryan, top fantasy points.
Arizona-San Francisco. Arizona, surprise team of the year, guys? Maybe? Will San Francisco suffer a Super Bowl hangover?
Garoppolo's still hungover. I mean, he played terrible.
So is this this might be an early take, but I'm going to say that San Francisco is going to take a drop off and Arizona is going to take their spot in that division. It's going to be Arizona and Seattle running for the first place in that division this year.
Okay, that's good. Another big race for a division, NFC South.
Wait, so Los Angeles doesn't?
I think that is a collapsing team that's going to be a fun team to watch collapse throughout this year.
Mean the Chargers or the Rams?
Isn't that what I said?
Okay,
it's a soap opera that's just waiting to crash.
You think the Rams?
We're going to talk about them in a minute. Let's talk about the old men.
Jeez. The old men.
Tampa Bay in New Orleans. Boy, Tom Brady did not look like Brady. Man, two picks, one for pick six.
Yeah.
One was a miscommunication between him and Mike, and he thought Mike was going down the middle. It's a different coverage. Mike read it right, and he should have bent across his face, but Tom just overthrew it. And the other one was it was a screen pass with an outlet called, and he threw the outlet, and it was a pick six. Bad decision.
Classic quarterback, wide receiver not on the same page. Wide receiver doesn't make the cut. Quarterback says, hey, you're making the cut. Throws it over the top.
Mike Evans should have sat.
Now, I was about to say, that was a quarter's coverage.
He should have sat.
I think the only reason he did it is because that left – safety was sitting on the hash and he knew that he was resting on the hash and he saw that and he was like, I'm gonna try to run past that because it was a quarter's coverage, but he should have sat and he should have played underneath on there.
Before we get out of here, the $40 million wanter, Mr. Dak Prescott, loses again to the Rams. Do the Rams have their swag back? You know,
they did.
Is the offense back to what we were thinking it should have been?
They were talking about that during the contest that McVay, he's like smash mouth football. Mm-hmm. He wants 40 rushes. Mm-hmm. The Rams had 40 rushes versus Dallas's 27. Even though Elliott had a little bit over 100 yards, but they kept him in check.
Yeah, I mean,
and the Rams defensive line.
Yeah, hey, the Rams defense shut down the Cowboys offense. Let's honestly put it there.
Mike McCarthy still had a chance to tie the game late, and they decided to go for it on fourth down. That's my biggest takeaway is they had a chance to tie it late, and they just never they choked.
You know, and we're just going to throw this out there. Dak is not worth anywhere close to $40
million.
No. Guys, we are going to take a quick break, and, man, we have – the last segment coming up, fantasy league results and fantasy, you know, points. Let's get it going, guys. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Beat on Air Network.
Every day across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torching yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com. Lama, they got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Pretty young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, for our last segment today on Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beyond Air Network. Guys, if you have anything to say, you want to call us 303-937-6548. We are on GoMileHigh on Facebook. You can listen to us live right now here on GoMileHigh.com, and you can hit us up on Twitter at GoMileHigh. Guys, week one in the books. Fantasy is big, especially for us three. We know we all play. And man, oh man. Do you want to break down some of these fantasy rankings? Who was top this week? And I will try to tell you who's going to be top next week. Let's run through the quarterbacks real quick and tell me who was top five quarterbacks in fantasy points this week on a list of fantasypros.com.
The number one is Russell Wilson.
He's at what, 31?
31.78.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, he had 30.76.
Oh, my God.
Josh Allen, of all people, had 28.18 at third.
That's because he had a rushing TD.
I was about to say, I don't know why so many people like hate on him. He's a great fantasy quarterback.
No,
he's a good rusher, too.
Yeah, like he's a great quarterback. He just fumbles.
Lamar Jackson, 27.5 in fourth. Kyler Murray, 27.3. In honorable mention, Cam Newton at six at 25.7. But he had two touchdowns.
Yeah. He had two rushing touchdowns. How many passing touchdowns did Cam Newton have?
Zero. He only had 155 total passing yards. He actually only passed the ball four more times than he ran it. He passed the ball 19 times and ran it 15. So that was more of a conservative approach by that Patriots offense to run the read option or run the speed option with him and really run the ball. They ran the ball 42 times in that game.
The
Patriots.
The Pats. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they're in a new system.
Mm-hmm.
They're in, you know, this just comes to show, honestly, Bill Belichick was ready, bro. He was ready to switch his entire offense because he hasn't had a mobile quarterback in 20 years.
The only quarterback that he ever had that was mobile, and he wasn't even that mobile, was Brissett on that Thursday night game.
What he's had to do is he's had to prepare for mobile quarterbacks. He hasn't had to, you know, play, you know, or you know, play with one and have to change offense. He's been sitting in a pro-style offense nearly most of his career as a coach, you know, with Tom Brady, one of the greatest to do it, to sit in that pocket and throw the ball. So I just love seeing a Bill Belichick switch his entire offensive game plan, switch his playbook, throw the old playbook out and say, hey, we got some new ones in.
They were doing like 8 or 9 people in the box on mm-hmm. offense and running stack sets, two running backs, two tight end sets, like double wings.
2 years ago, that was not the offense they were running.
No, that is not.
Not even close. Last year, that's not the offense they were running.
They said that most of that game, 80% of their plays were play action, run-based plays. So mm-hmm. that's the most in 5 seasons for the Patriots in one game, 80% of their plays being run-oriented or play action. That just shows, like you said, you know, he wanted a mobile quarterback, and it, you know, proved off. I mean, yes, it was against probably the worst team in the AFC, one of the worst.
Yeah, which, you know, it doesn't, again, doesn't say much, but it says enough to say, hey, they haven't really skipped a beat.
So who's your prediction quarterback for this week?
I would say what top end quarterback. I'm mm-hmm. gonna go with Lamar Jackson. He is playing. Is it Miami? Am I wrong? Did I just see?
And I'm gonna go for someone off the waiver wire. I'm gonna go with Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy Garoppolo is playing against the New York Jets. And after last week having a kind of abysmal week, only scoring about 21 fantasy points, this week could really go off against that Jets team that really has no weapons in the secondary.
Is that crickets, man? He gave you crickets. Holy cow.
Is he not high on Jimmy Garoppolo versus the Jets?
No, I don't think he is at all.
I'm saying that game is going to be boring.
No.
It'll probably be boring for Jets fans.
Wentz is going to go down again because they're playing the Rams, and Donald Arnold is going to be
Aaron Donald.
See, I'm still hungover from that Eagles loss.
It's okay.
Are you still hungover from the Eagles loss or the Super Bowl win? Which one?
You're still ranking on
my
the
cups,
Super Bowl.
My cup's bigger than his.
No, it is not. I don't even see your cup. You don't even have a cup on the table.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I think Lamar Jackson's going to come out on top to this week rushing. He's getting into a groove. I think he's going to get more rushing yards on the ground. He threw for, what, 4 TDs? And mm-hmm. that's what everybody was harping on. Oh, he can't throw so well. He looked pretty good mm-hmm. last week. Who are your top fantasy-earning running backs from the past week?
Sure. So, Josh Jacobs from Vegas, he had 31.9. He beat out Christian McCaffrey that had 2 touchdowns.
Top two fantasy running backs played in the same game.
And it's kind of funny because mm-hmm. we ironically said that was the battle of the best running backs in our last segment.
Battle of the best, which is
says something.
Yep. Ezekiel Elliott, 24.7 in third. Malcolm Brown on the Rams. I don't think a lot of people have him in fantasy world. 23.
They will after this.
Stole him right under squirrel's nose.
Yeah, yep. If they did. Yeah, he just stole him.
I actually have him on my team.
I just stole him right from squirrels. So.
I went to the waiver wire this morning. So did he, and he's just higher on the waiver than me. So he is going to end up with Malcolm Brown, which is a great, great
pickup. Yeah.
Finish him.
Raheem Mostert.
Mostert.
21.1 in fifth.
Mostert. That's my boy. I went to high school with him.
In honorable mention was Dalvin Cook with 20.8. And I'm surprised Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But he had 19.8.
Yeah, I'm surprised he had such a big week. But good Lord, this guy is
great young man.
Mm-hmm. He's a very, very tough young fella. He's good. Apparently he's good out of the backfield catching a football, looks like. I wasn't too high on him catching a football out of the backfield, but doesn't look like he's done too bad. Let's see. You want me to give you a running back? It's going to blow mm-hmm. up this week. I'm going to go down to the south. I'm going to say Kamara's going to have up to 25, 30 points this week. If you got Alvin Kamara, make sure he's starting. He should never be sitting.
He was supposed to have 3 touchdowns, but he got 1 called back.
Let me give you a running back with a big uptick this week, Jonathan Taylor. Taylor and or Nyheim Hines, if you want to put both of them in. Marlon Mack has taken a season-ending injury with an Achilles tendon tear.
An unfortunate one.
Yeah. Look for Green Bay to go back to Aaron Jones next week. I think this past week that they didn't use him too much was a little bit off of what they're normally going to be running. So look for that to come back to you.
I'll bet you $10 Barkley gets more than 10 yards next week.
You're going to bet me $10 that Barkley gets more. I will bet you $100 that he gets less than 100.
They are who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were. Okay, so wide receivers. Run me through the top five last week.
Number one, Devontae Adams.
What a shock.
27.6.
I got him on my squad, too.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
The shocker on my end, and I'm glad I have him on my team, is Adam Thielen.
Thielen
at 25 points. Calvin Ridley on Atlanta, 24.9.
Had a great game.
Yeah. That's the surprising one.
Yeah. Darius Slayton.
I mean, is it really, though? Calvin Ridley, he's a boss. He catches football.
He's good in the slot. I'm just saying that amount of points in fantasy, okay. He hasn't done that at all.
Fair enough to that.
So
point.
Is Julio on his way out?
What?
No.
Not until he retires. Yeah, no. Julio's going to be there forever.
No, he'll be there forever. So Darius Slayton from the Giants.
Oh, wow, really?
22.2. Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
Robbie, was a great catch.
That was a great, yeah.
God,
great,
he's
great
skinnier touchdown. Than I am. And that kid, he was.
You're a pretty heavy guy, though.
Oh, thanks.
One wide receiver obviously going to make a bigger uptick than he did with his 4 points this weekend is obviously Michael Thomas.
Pulled hamstring, though, not pulled hamstring.
Is something, it? It's not a pulled hamstring. Is
something
it?
With this hamstring. I think he got a high ankle sprain. He was a high ankle sprain.
Kelsey's doubtful on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then he's healthy Thursday. So it's every week. Look for Where'd he go? Oh yeah, Robert Woods to still make a splash. It seems like Jared Goff likes Robert Woods. Is still going to be tossed in there and. One more. Let me give you guys. Let's see. Well, he had a decent week last week. I think it's going to be even better. It's Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen's using that man pretty well, and I think that was probably one of the best pickups this offseason. We are running short on time, guys. Give me. Do you have the two tight ends? Give me top two or three tight ends.
Oh, Goddard. And Mark Andrews from Baltimore.
Yeah, of course, dude. If anybody has Mark Andrews, he's definitely got to play.
Fant got third.
Listen to this. If you have Jared Cook or, you know, Hayden Hurst, I think those are two tight ends would be easy to throw in there. TJ Hockenson is another one. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our time.
Darren Waller.
Today, Darren Waller. Do not forget about Darren Waller, no. Guys. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com. I want to thank Arthur in the back for making the noise. Shaggy, as always, and Mr. Carlos for sitting on the mics with us today. Guys, we will see you here tomorrow at 3 to 4. Coming up is the Press Box. Stay with us, guys.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama,
what?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence.